Joseph, you make my heart smile, brother. Proud of the man that he is and the way that he leads us in these songs of praise to our Father. Thank you, church, for being here today. We are on the back end of spring break. And so that usually means people are traveling and such, and so that's probably the case this morning. But I'm thankful that you're able to be with us today. I do want to take this time to thank those who may be visiting with us today. It's an honor to have you with us, and we're encouraged by your presence. I do appreciate Joseph leading us in these songs. I appreciate Dylan reading to us from a scripture that we'll use in a moment or at the end of our service today from Acts chapter 4. I appreciate Brother Jimmy. Appreciate his prayer, and certainly I appreciate Johnny's heart and the way he directed our minds at the Lord's Supper. It is a blessing to be a part of such a great family here at Zay City. And I'm so thankful that you allow me to be here with you as your minister. But I'm especially thankful to be able to worship with this great church family. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. We're talking about more Jesus. More God, more church, more Bible, more fellowship, more prayer. That's our theme this year. What can we take more of from God? Again, He's offered us this free gift. Now, it's ours for the taking. Are we willing to take more of it? If He's willing to give it, we are willing to take it, right? But here, what I've been trying to do is just go through the life of Christ, talking about different stories, different applications, different parts of His life that we can take and we can use, and we can gather more information so that we can apply it to our lives so that we can do more for the kingdom of God. Today is an evangelistic type sermon. This is a lesson that I was encouraged to hear someone talk about. I've tried to spin it my own self, but it encouraged me so much that I thought I've got to turn around and preach that because of the mindset of it. Because of the way that it just made my heart feel the importance of telling people about Jesus. Mark chapter 2, 1 through 12 now. Read along with me as we read together. And again He, Jesus Christ, entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that He, that's Jesus again, was in the house. Immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And He preached the word to them. Then they came to Him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near Him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where He was. So when they had broken through, they let the bed down on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, He said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But immediately when Jesus perceived in His spirit that they responded thus within themselves, He said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, go to your house." Immediately He arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." What a story. And how many times have you heard that story? A lot, if you've had any time in the church. You have studied that story. You've heard it taught in Sunday school. And I am the same way. And I know this story, and I've seen, and I remember doing flannel boards and stuff. You know, when you take and you put it up, and when I was in Sunday school, I remember this story. But it was just recently that something just taught to me, or when someone taught this lesson, it talked to me about how I need to be more evangelistic. And I want to walk you through this lesson. Again, it's more. What can I do more for God? Folks, do we realize that the mission of our church is to evangelize the lost? It is our mission. Yes, it is our mission statement. That's part of our mission statement here at Azalea City. We spent a whole year talking about our mission statement last year. But that mission statement is based on the commission statement of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He said, as recorded by Matthew, to go into all the world and do what? Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, teaching them to observe all things. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of this age. You know, that is commission to us. He told them later on, as he told those apostles then that he was about to go into heaven and he was going to ascend up until the last descent that he'll have. And he told them to be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Well, when I think about that, I've got to realize that my mission in life is to evangelize. And I want to talk real open and honest with us today. Again, we're bookending a school holiday, and you know, we're a church that we go. I mean, and that's okay. People come back. We had 60 last week that were gone, you know, but here, we're back today. And so we still have some gone. But I want you to look over here, and there are empty spots on our pews, right? There are empty spots in our balcony. There are empty spots. My question today is, and I'm not trying to single anybody out, but I want you to ask yourself, just like I am asking myself, am I doing whatever it takes to bring people to Jesus Christ? You see, I've got to stand before God. I'm going to stand before Jesus Christ, the judge, in eternity. And He's going to judge me. He's going to judge me by what I teach. But He's also going to judge me. Am I planting seeds? Am I watering? Am I doing whatever it takes? Well, this lesson today is about a group of men who did whatever it took to get their friend to Jesus. I want you to think about some of these things as we go through them. The first thing that strikes me in this story is they get their friend. If you look back in verses 1 and 2, again, he entered Capernaum. Verse 2, immediately many gathered together so there was no longer room to receive them, and he preached the word. Now verse 3, then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. Now, let's think about this. These guys are friends with this man. Four of them, okay? And you know what they said? They know that Jesus, the word of Jesus has spread, okay? Word of Jesus of healing people and helping people and loving people and forgiving people has spread, but especially the healing power. They didn't go to that man to have their sins forgiven. They didn't take that man to Jesus to have his sins forgiven. We'll point that out in a minute. They went so that he could be healed. And so the friends know that. And you know what they thought to themselves? We've got to get our friend to Jesus. We've got to get our buddy to Jesus Christ. So you know what they do? They go to him and they say, hey, buddy, let's go see Jesus. They didn't ask, can we take you to Jesus? They didn't ask, hey, would you like to go see him? They just said, we're going. Now, it's very inconvenient, right? It was very hard for them to be able to do that. Why? Because the man can't walk. I don't know if you've ever carried somebody. Let me tell you about, I just had a board meeting at Faulkner, and a guy that was in a club with me, we were reminiscing some, and so it got me to thinking back to 1997 or 8, somewhere in there, where I was going through Pledge Week, okay? And I remember on the first night of Pledge Week, we had a guy who was pledging the club with us at Faulkner University who didn't wear shoes that night. And their job as brothers to us pledges was to break us down and look out for one another and all that. So we had to carry our friend that night everywhere we ran, everywhere we went. I'm going to tell you, that got old. And we told him he better wear shoes the next night or we were going to take care of him. But the point is, we had to carry him everywhere we went. Now, that was out of because we had to. But it's not easy to carry somebody. I mean, it gets tiring. It's heavy. It's taxing. But they go to their friend and they said, I'm tired of seeing you suffer. So we're taking you to Jesus Christ. And I'd like to tell you that's just the happy ending, but you know the story. It's still not easy. There's a lot of things that could stop them. Hey, they get there and what happens? It's crowded. I mean, a little cartoon, I don't know if you can see it very well. There's people out this house that Jesus is in and they're out the door. Wouldn't that be great if we had that issue here at Isaiah City? Jesus is here too, by the way. I mean, wouldn't it be great if we didn't have any empty spots on our pew? But you know what happens sometimes? We allow difficulty to set in. Oh, nobody wants to hear about that. You know, we live in 2018 now. Nobody wants to hear. I mean, you know, they're stuck in their ways. They're set in their ways. Well, let me just tell you, they get there and it's crowded. But it didn't stop them. They get there and they realize, hey, I can't get our friend into that room the old-fashioned way. He can't walk in. We can't get in. It's room to room, elbow to elbow, people coming out the door. So then they said, hey, well, I mean, who threw this idea out? Hey, let's just go through the roof. I mean, who throws that idea out? But one of them did. And so they then take their friend who they're still carrying because he still can't walk. They're carrying him up these stairs. Somehow they get onto a roof. And then they start digging into the roof. Now I want to remind you of something. This is not their house. They didn't ask permission. I have no idea if it was common practice to just go dig holes in people's roofs. I really don't. But here's what I do know. They didn't let it stop them. Why? Because their friend needed Jesus. How many people do we know right now that we let the word no stop us? How many people do we know right now that said, no, I don't think I want to go with you this Sunday, and that's it, we quit. How many of us have made a phone call to somebody before and they said, I'm sorry I missed, I'm sorry I missed, I'm sorry I missed, I'm sorry I missed, and then we've quit? Would we have empty pews if we had their mindset? Would we be willing to do whatever it takes to bring the lost home? Well, that's Terry's job. It is. Not because I'm paid to do it, though. That's not why it's my job, folks. It's my job because I submitted myself to Jesus Christ. Well, it's Terry's job to call all the people. Well, technically, it's not. If you want to get down to it, it's the elders. They're the shepherds of the flock. I'm not a pastor. I'm not the guy in charge of all this. I'm paid to evangelize. Now listen, I'll do it. But I want you to know, we got to get that mindset out of us. It's all of our jobs. It's our responsibilities. We get so comfortable in our own pews, in our own skin, in our own places that we don't. Do I even care about people that aren't here? Again, I told you it struck me right between the eyes, and so I'm just trying to bring it out to you. This is not their house, but they took this man up on this roof and they dug and they cut a hole in the roof. Something else that's remarkable about this story. The guy who did own the house. This isn't in the Bible, okay? I know. But you've got to imagine he's got to be close to Jesus. This is his house. You know, Jesus is a guest in his house, so he's got to be sitting right there. So he's got a bird's eye view of, y'all hear that? Yup. Something going on the roof? And then all of a sudden there's daylight. And the guy's like, he's got to think, who's cutting this hole in my roof? But aren't you glad? The Scriptures doesn't say he jumped up and stopped him. He just allowed it to keep happening. I mean, what a remarkable moment. It is remarkable to me. You think this isn't a big deal. Go on over to your neighbor's house and cut a hole in their roof today. And see if they stop you. This guy, whoever owns the house, just lets it happen. Why? Probably because he sees this man can't walk. Maybe word has gotten back in. Maybe he knew it. Maybe it's his friend too. Whatever it was, he allowed it to happen. Even if he said, why are you cutting a hole in my roof? The response would have been, because we have to get our friend in to Jesus. I think this story is so remarkable because it leads me to this question. Are we willing to cut holes in roofs today to bring people or whatever to Jesus Christ? Let me try to illustrate this for you. I know we live in 2018, but raise your hand if you've ever shown or watched the Jewel Miller film strips, please. Okay? Raise your hand if you've never heard of the Jewel Miller film strips. Okay. Jewel Miller, brother in Christ, decided he wanted to make an easy way to get into people's homes. So he took the gospel message back when film strips were a big deal, before VCRs, kids, what's that? Before DVD players, before Blu-ray, before Xbox Ones, before you could just go on the TV and click an app and stream it, that's what they did. That's what the older people did, yes. But they'd go in the home, you'd have your film strip, right? You'd plug it in, people let you in, and they'd go, boop, you remember it. And you'd turn the slide. But do you realize when Jewel Miller did that, that was unheard of? I am sure people criticized him for it. I'm sure people said, that will never, ever work. But you know what he did? He cut a hole in the roof. Now in 2018, that hole has been patched. It's not easy to go into someone's home today and show a film strip. By the way, they put them on DVD, but there's still the film strip on DVD. Still got the boop and everything. Okay? But the point I'm trying to say is, that was thinking outside the box. What about this? There was a lady one time who, she decided, she went to church and it was a small church and they were just dying. They weren't, nobody was coming into them. It just, things were not going well. And so she went to the preacher and she said, hey, I've got an idea. She said, why don't we throw, it's a small town, everybody's close to one another, why don't we throw a little festival out here? And we just, you know, we play games and we do all kinds of things and everything else. The preacher said, nah, it's a bad idea. In his mind, he probably thought that, but he did what most preachers who think I might be setting myself up here. This is not always the case, but a lot of times preachers think, well, that's a bad idea. So you know what they say? Hey, go see the elders. Go talk to the elders about it. So if you come up to me and I say that, please don't think I think it's a bad idea. But sometimes that might happen to some preachers. But they went, the elders loved it. They thought it was a great idea. So you know what they said? Make the preacher help you. So they did, though. They put probably what we would call the very first ever fall festival on. You guess what happened? That dying church baptized 13 people from their community. Just another way to cut a hole in the roof. Listen, film strips may not work today. I'm pretty sure they don't. Fall festivals, we know. I mean, the Kirby's are back there. They have been spent many hours. We've done fall festivals. We've fed thousands of people. I don't think we baptized one person through it. So they may not work today. But there's something out there that will. And we've got to find it. For people to say that the gospel doesn't work anymore, that is wrong. The gospel still pricks hearts. The gospel still touches the soul. The gospel still convicts. The gospel still makes us hungry for Jesus Christ. We just have to find effective ways to cut holes in the roof. We can't let it stop us because people tell us no. We can't let it stop us because others down the street have bigger crowds than us. We've got to find a way to get people to Jesus. And that's not just my job. It's not just Justin and Jason's job. It's not just the elder's job. It's everybody in here's responsibility to bring people to Jesus. What are some things we can bring to Jesus? What are some things that no matter what happens, no matter what it takes, we're cutting holes in the roof to bring them here? First of all, how about our family? One of the hardest ones, isn't it? Madeline, it's just ironic how things happen. Madeline brought down from Outdoor Bible today one of my books, 21 Habits of Highly Functioning Families. I haven't really talked too much about that lately. From time to time, people will still message me and say thank you and things like that, but I didn't write that book for thank yous. I wrote it to help families. Family matters to me. Family matters to God. But I get concerned sometimes that we work harder to get our families involved in things that the world thinks are important than what God thinks. Listen, everybody knows how much I love sports. I mean, I do, man. I love it. The Masters are going on, and some people in a text group that we're in got back in town, and just from the Masters, they missed like 500 texts from our group just commenting on the Masters. I've been privileged to go to the Masters twice. Thought we went 2 years in a row, and I thought, I'm going to go every year of my life, but since then I hadn't, so I don't know what the deal is. But the fact of the matter is I love sports. I do. But not so much that I'm willing to let my family love sports more than God. That's the decision I have to make. You know, I think it's critical for our children to study and for our children to reach out and have friends. I think it's important for us to have hobbies. My wife needs a hobby. I need a hobby. We need hobbies. But not so much so that they become our gods. Now today, is it hard to reach family sometimes? You better believe it is. But we got to cut holes in the roof. We got to figure it out. Noah would have been fired as a preacher of a local church. You mean to tell me you preached 100 years and not one person responded? That'd be tough, wouldn't it? But he got his children and their spouses to leave their family, the spouses to leave their family and get on the boat. That's cutting holes in roofs. What am I doing to evangelize my family? Am I doing? You know, today's, with a little bit of effort, maybe we need to have a class on this sometime. I don't know. But with a little bit of effort, we can search on the internet and find good things to have devotionals with our families with. We use the Bible Project in my house a lot. I would venture to say that everybody could go on YouTube, look up the Bible Project, and you could do those summaries on the Bible, and every one of you would benefit from it. Every single one of us. I don't care how long you've been studying the Scriptures. I don't care how much you've studied all 66 books. I have learned something by going through the Bible Project with my family. It's important. Spending time together talking about Jesus Christ is important. YouTube, sometimes I want to take YouTube and just kick it to the curb. Today, kids do not need DirecTV. They do not need a whole bunch of stuff. They just need an iPad and YouTube, and they'll be entertained for hours. But I don't think that's healthy. I really don't. That's just me. As a parent, you can disagree. But I'm just telling you, sometimes it makes me mad. And so guess what we do in our house? We ban it. Once I get a bait of it, I ban it. But there are some things on YouTube you can find good. There are some things on Facebook you can find good. There are some things, you see what I'm saying with this? We can take, with a little bit of effort, and we can cut holes in roofs, and we can change our family, and we can talk about Jesus, and we can love one another, and we can grow closer to one another. And we can just ask the simple question, every day of our lives, how have you seen God today in our family? And it'll change our mindset. But what else? What else do we need to bring to Jesus? How about our friends? Jesus was friends to sinners. So guess what? I believe we need to have some friends that are sinners. Never did Jesus' sinner friends bring him down, though. He always brought them up. So I tell teenagers all the time, or when I did teach them, if my friends are bringing me down rather than me bringing them up, then maybe it's time to choose some new friends or change myself. But the fact of the matter is this, we need friends who are lost so that we can bring them to Jesus Christ. We do. Wouldn't it be terrible to have a good friend and we never tell them about the gospel? Man, we talked about our golf game. We talked about the number of turkeys we killed. Mine would be a real quick answer to that. But we talked about the deer we killed. We talked about the fish we caught. We talked about the shopping sprees we went on. We talked about whatever, fill in the blank, okay? Fill in the blank of whatever's popular with you and your friends. We talked about all that. Man, I called them up when we were expecting our first child. I called them up on certain days of importance. Man, we shared all this, but I never shared the gospel with them. You know why they might not want to be my friend? Well, I want to remind you, they didn't bring their friend there to get his sins forgiven. They brought their friend there so that he could walk. But Jesus didn't give him what he wanted at first. He gave him what he needed. He went to Jesus and got his sins forgiven, but he left out of there carrying his bed. Are we cutting holes in roofs to bring our friends? And then finally this morning, what about our focus? Are we doing whatever it takes to make our focus on Jesus Christ? You've heard me tell this before. I love every stage. Sometimes my memory gets foggy of certain times. Michelle's memory is remarkable when it comes to remembering family. But sometimes mine's a little foggy on when Bo and Madeline were little. I can remember certain things. I wish I could remember more of it. But one thing I remember is feeding time. Both of them, they liked to eat when they were little. Some of them still like to eat. But they liked to eat especially when they were little. They were ready for that bottle. And son, man, they'd be, you know how the babies would do. And then all of a sudden, you're shaking that thing up, you're trying to get it fixed or whatever. And all of a sudden you get it to them, and they get it, and the first thing they do is cross their eyes. They take both eyes, and they focus on the one bottle. Why? Because they don't care about anything else. They care about that bottle. We as Christians need to get cross-eyed. We need to put the cross. And that needs to be our focus. Listen. I've got a lot of things I enjoy. I got a lot of things I like to talk about. But can we not take those things we enjoy and those things we like to talk about and bring it full circle back to Jesus Christ? If I can't, then I need to find some new things to enjoy. But if I can bring it back full circle and I can use what I've got to put my focus, my attention, my all on Jesus Christ, then I say that's a great thing. But if not, folks, I need to cut holes in my roof. I need to flip my living room. I need to flip my world upside down to get my focus back to where it needs to be if it's not on Jesus and the cross. When they were bringing their friend to Jesus, there were a lot of distractions. Heavy, long walk, got to carry our friend, big crowd, climbing stairs, cutting holes. But their focus was to get their friend to Jesus. And that's got to be our focus today. I'm going to close with what was read to us by Dylan. In Acts 4, there's been some holes cut in the roof at this point. Let me tell you about some of those holes real quick. All the Jewish religious people are gathered on a Jewish holiday, the day of Pentecost. And they're there to celebrate Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit has come upon the apostles and said, "You're about to cut a hole in the roof." And so Peter stands up and he preaches to them the gospel. They had never heard that before. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Messiah they've been waiting on. He came and guess what? You killed Him. They stopped Him in the middle of that sermon and said, "What do we need to do?" He said, "You need to repent and be baptized. Every one of you. You'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and you'll receive remission of your sins." 3,000 of them did it. Acts 2 verse 47, after they continue steadfastly in fellowship, breaking of bread, prayers, and the apostles' doctrine, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. In Acts 3, they meet the lame man at the Gate Beautiful. And guess what? He wants money. He's been begging. Peter says, "Hey, silver and gold we don't have. But we do have, we give unto you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." He leaps to his feet and he goes. People start talking. This is great. The number grows to 5,000 men. Well, in Acts 4, there's some people that are mad. And Peter and John get arrested. Because they were cutting holes in the roof. And they tell them, "You can't do this anymore. In fact, if you do, this is what's going to happen." Now, the Bible says they severely threatened them. You fill in your blank what you think is the worst of the worst. But that meant several things. They could be in prison, taken away from their families, put in prison, never to get out again. They could be beaten hard. They could be stoned to death. I don't know what you think is the worst of the worst of those, but it's in that category, okay? If you don't quit cutting holes in the roof, this is what's going to happen. Peter looks him in the face and he says, "Whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." For today's sermon's sake, here's what they said. "If you've got to beat us, beat us. If you've got to imprison us, put us in prison. If you're going to stone us, go get the rocks. But we're going to keep cutting holes in roofs. We're going to keep bringing people to Jesus. We can't help it." Today as we close, I want to ask you, are you there? Am I there? There are empty pews. Do I care? There are people in my family. Do I care? There are people in my friends. Do I care? My focus is not where it needs to be. Do I care? Or today, am I going to cut holes in all of it? Am I going to be willing to bring people to Jesus? Starting with myself. Am I willing to submit my life to God today? To be immersed in water, for the forgiveness of every sin, contacting the life-saving, the life-giving blood of Jesus Christ, coming up to walk in newness of life. Am I a family member that needs Jesus? Am I a friend that needs Jesus? Today, does my focus need holes cut in it? The good news is you can be helped. And we're offering that right now as together we stand and sing.